Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. In 2015, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan had only been in office for 5 months when he was diagnosed with an advanced aggressive form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Then, after achieving remission, he was diagnosed with a common form of skin cancer in 2018. But thanks to an attentive healthcare team and the help of his friends, family, and fellow patients, today he's cancer-free and sharing his story. In this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast, Hogan spoke with us about what it was like to go through cancer not once, but twice, and why he considers every day a gift. So first off, again, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you.
To start, can you walk us through your cancer journey from the beginning?
Sure. So, you know, I had just been elected governor of Maryland, just was sworn in. I'd only been governor for 5 months, and I was just coming. I was on our first trade mission to Korea, China, and Japan, and we'd been really busy going through a year-long campaign, our first legislative session. I had been working day and night. I had no idea I was really sick, but I started to have some aches and pains. And on this trip, I started to feel a little run down, but I thought I was okay. But I noticed a lump in my throat, and I thought, I better check this out. And so I went to the doctor as soon as we got back, and the first primary care physician sent me to another doctor, and I ended up having three doctors after doing a bunch of CAT scans walk into the room together, which I said, can't be a good sign when three doctors that you don't know walk into the room. Mm-hmm. And they said, we have some bad news to share with you, Governor. And they said, you have very advanced and aggressive cancer. We found about 50 some tumors from your neck to your groin. And we're going to have to set you up with a specialist oncologist and right away. And, you know, it's a pretty advanced and aggressive cancer. And, I was frankly stunned. My first doctor said, didn't think it was anything to worry about. You know, it's probably just a benign cyst of some kind, fluid in my lymph node in my neck. And, but then I heard this shocking news, and it set off a whole series of things. This was Father's Day weekend, Friday of Father's Day weekend. My very first thought was not, you know, really about being afraid of what was going to happen to me. But I think it's probably what so many other cancer patients go through. My first thought was of my family. You know, how am I going to tell my wife? My three daughters were coming to visit for Father's Day weekend. I was going to break that news to them. And then my dad, who was 80 at the time, was coming over for Father's Day weekend. And it doesn't matter how old you get. You know, I was still his little boy. And he took it almost tougher than anybody. But it was, you know, group hug, a little tears, and I told everybody it was going to be okay. And then, you know, I had to then break the news to my staff, who had worked so hard and just was getting started on our administration, and break it to the 6 million people of Maryland who had just put their faith and trust in me to help run the state. And I was trying to be as open and honest and transparent as I could possibly be with all the people of the state, and they kind of went through and shared the whole cancer battle with me.
So then what was it like to hear those words, you have cancer, in the same year, so soon after you were just sworn in as the governor of Maryland?
Well, it was, I'm sure so many people that are, you know, that are listening to this story or watching today, they've been through it or have a loved one that went through it. I was a little bit stunned. I mean, I wasn't really scared. I was just sort of quiet as I tried to absorb the words, and I might have missed a few words as they were talking, but I picked up advanced, you know, aggressive lymphoma, you know, large B cell, non-Hodgkin's, and you know, we're gonna have to start treatments right away. And my mind was sort of halfway paying attention to them, halfway racing ahead to how are we gonna go after this. And quite frankly, I was thinking, I had just, as an underdog, pulled up the biggest surprise upset in America. We had just accomplished some things in our first legislative session. I just battled riots in Baltimore. I just finished our trade mission, and after 5 months of being on the job, I thought, is this really how it's all going to end this quickly into my term? And then, like everybody else, just got focused on what are we going to do about it? You know, it's but hearing those words was, I'm sure, just like it is for so many people, somewhat shocking.
Now, you talked a little bit about the treatments you underwent. Now, they were really aggressive. What was it like going through them while also serving as governor? Did they impact your work at all? How did that work?
Yeah, it was. Well, first, before I started the treatments, you know, I had to tell the people of Maryland, they were going to say, hey, where's the governor? Right? And I'm going to be tied up going through these treatments. So I wanted to be open and honest. And so right after I told my family, I had to do a biopsy surgery, and they were removing a lymph node from under my arm, and I was under full anesthesia, and then they gave me a Percocet or Vicodin, some pain pills afterwards, and they said, you know, you just have to go home and rest and don't make any big decisions. And I said, I have to have a press conference this afternoon. And the doctor said, no way, you can't have a press conference. He said, you're not going to ask you questions, are they? And I said, yeah, I think they're going to ask me a lot of questions. But I went out there. Maybe it was truth serum. I was very relaxed, but I told the people exactly what was going to happen, and that I had to start aggressive 24-hour-a-day chemotherapy. I was doing a thing called R-CHOP, which is a concoction of, I guess, five different types of chemo drugs, and it was administered for four straight days, 24 hours a day in the hospital. Then I would take 10 days out of the hospital to kind of recuperate and rebuild my white blood cells, and then go back in again and then again. And this took place over a 5 month period. And then I did another year of kind of maintenance chemo but I worked through the whole thing, like so many people that, you know, try to continue with their life and sometimes have to go to work, even though they're in a lot of pain and they're not feeling well. And it was a struggle, but I met so many other patients that were going through much more difficult challenges than I was. But you know, the first, it becomes cumulative, and I think maybe the chemo does, and I know many of your patients probably have the same similar experiences. The first one I was like, it wasn't so bad the first 4 days, and then the next one I was like, it didn't feel that great, and the third one, all of my beautiful hair all fell out in the shower. And then by the end, it was pretty debilitating. I mean, I was in a lot of pain, and you know, it takes a real toll on your body. You know, eventually you get beyond that, and it was a tough regimen to go through. But thank God, incredible doctors and nurses, and the technology, the drugs that we have today, the improvements that we're making in cancer research, it's saving a lot of lives.
Definitely. So then you also just kind of touched on that a little bit. What kind of support system did you have to kind of help you through that treatment and then beyond it?
I was incredibly lucky. And I know that that's not everyone is as lucky as I was. First of all, I had, you know, a loving family that was there with me every step of the way. As governor, I did have all these responsibilities and all this work I still had to get done. But I also had a terrific staff around me that could help assist and get these things follow up and get things done. And I didn't have a problem getting the healthcare that I needed. Some people, you know, may struggle. We have incredible health facilities here in our state. And of course, I got some great doctors, but a lot of people go through these difficulties and maybe they don't have the kind of support. I had outpouring of support. I was so lucky. The thousands of people around our state were sending me words of encouragement and cards and prayers, and it really was a major part of my recovery. It boosted my spirits. I'm a big believer in the power of prayer and of positive thinking, and I mean it felt like it was giving me the strength I needed to help fight through this. And I made so many incredible friends that were in the fight with me, other patients in the hospital and working with other cancer groups, sharing the experiences they were going through and their families were going through, was an incredible support network for me. And I hope I was able to help them, but they were incredibly encouraging to me too.
Yeah. So then that was your first bout with cancer. And then back in early 2018, you then underwent treatment for a second type of cancer. It
Yes.
was, yeah. What was that like, having a second cancer diagnosis thrown your way so soon after the first?
Well, it wasn't nearly as serious. I don't want to diminish the importance of people going to the dermatologist, and skin cancers can be scary. And I don't know, I did have a, maybe 30 some stitches here and over here that hopefully aren't too visible. I caught it pretty early, and it was early, not an advanced, not as serious of a cancer. It was not nearly as scary as the diagnosis I got with the tumors all over my body, with the aggressive, cancer of the immune system. But still, nonetheless, I was like, just the word cancer, hearing it again so quickly after that, it was not something I wanted to hear. But it was much easier to go through. It was just I didn't look so good. I looked like I'd gotten in a fight, or I was a hockey player, and I had to be on television and going out in press conferences with scars all over my face for a while. But that was a much easier cancer to go through. But I'll tell you what, I also use that to kind of message to people about the importance of sunscreen and protecting yourself, and doing regular skin checks. Don't make the same mistakes I made of being out in the sun and being unprotected.
Yeah, definitely. So now, kind of shifting gears a little bit, you talked about, the people that you've met along the journey. You've got a book coming out where you talk a little bit about these, courageous people that you met while you were fighting cancer. Can you share some insight into those folks and their journeys?
Sure. Well, so I imagine some cancer patients that have to be in hospitalized go through this. I couldn't stand lying in bed the whole time, but I was attached to this pole with the chemo bags 24 hours a day, and it has wheels on it. So I just did laps around the hospital, and I would just get to meet all these folks. I first met a woman named Shelley, who was from West Baltimore, and she was, had lost her hair. I was in my first in, and we started doing laps together, and we were joking, bald is beautiful. And she was telling me kind of her experiences, what she was going through. And then I met a young man named Jimmy, who had Down syndrome, and he was fighting leukemia. And he just had the most incredible positive spirit and energy of anybody I ever met. And I started to do things when I was out of the hospital with groups of cancer kids. I went down and visited kids in the pediatric oncology ward and met their families. But I met this one young man, Andrew Oberle. We took some kids out to a ball game, and this young little 5-year-old kid came up to me, and he's with his mom. We introduced them to some football players, and they got autographs for the kids that were battling cancer. And this young man, he comes up to me and he says, "Governor, I heard you have cancer and you're going through chemotherapy," which he had been going through for a couple of years already. And he says to me, "My mommy helped me write a list for you." And so he goes through this list he gives me, and it says, there's 10 things on the list. It's like, make sure they give you the num-num cream before they give you the pokey. Find a hugging person. Mine is my mommy. Just, you might not like the doctors at first, but they're there to help you. So his mom wrote it all, but he was telling her the things to tell the governor. So we became pen pals, and I, helped him celebrate when he rang the bell and was cancer free. He was there at my press conference, came up and hugged me when I was cancer free. But there's many of these stories of this young man, Jimmy Myrick Jr. with Down syndrome. I had a Governor's Courage Award that I presented to Special Olympics every year to an athlete. I picked the first one for this young man, Jimmy Myrick Jr. And unfortunately, he died of his battle with cancer. And I spoke at his funeral and renamed this governor's award the Jimmy Myrick Jr. Courage Award. And I got to present it to him right before he left the hospital. And he was so excited. But sadly, when he went home, and he caught an infection and died shortly after that. So there's some really sad stories about people that we lost along the way, but some really exciting, happy stories, success stories. And I'm still in touch with some of the families, and met some incredible people.
That's fantastic. So then lastly, what advice would you offer someone who just recently received a diagnosis of their own?
Well, I guess the best advice is to really keep a positive attitude. I mentioned earlier, I think prayer is important, and I think keeping a positive outlook, having people that care about you around you to help you go through it, and really listening to the advice of the doctors. And I tended at first not to listen to the doctors that well, but they would say, you know, your immune system is compromised. I would still be out shaking hands and not paying attention. And they, you know, so listen to what the healthcare professionals are telling you, and don't look at it as, you know, this is a death sentence or the end of the world. I have cancer. So many people, although it's a tough battle sometimes, to come out of it stronger than ever. And I think everybody ought to go into it like that, with that kind of an attitude. I now feel that every day is precious, and it sounds crazy, but having gone through that experience, you know, I think it's made me a better person. And I realize every day is a gift, and it's made me have a whole new, you know, a whole new cause. I mean, I'm going to continue to help work with other patients and their families, and continue to help raising awareness and money until we find cures to these terrible diseases.
That's fantastic. Now, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to mention, you think the patient audience would like to know about?
Well, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come talk to you. And I thank you for the work that you do at Cure. I mean, there's so many incredible people out there going through these tough battles, and the families, having the support of a family that's helping some loved one go through this battle is invaluable. And I think the advice that you give them and the share with them about the experiences of others, I had people call me and tell me the experiences that they went through, and that was incredibly helpful. And now, even though I've got a pretty busy schedule as the governor of Maryland in the middle of this pandemic and fighting all kinds of things, I pick up the phone and of people I don't even know. Someone will say, this person's going through cancer, and I'll call them and just share, you know, what they're going through, and tell them, you know, whatever advice I can give them. And I think that's very helpful. So thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.